The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is, depending on whether you're listening on audio version or watching on YouTube, it is either Friday, November 12th or Thursday, November 11th. Pete Prisco joining me, RJ White as well. What's up, fellas?
What's How up? You doing?
I'm doing great. Commenters. So we have live, we do this pick show every week live on YouTube, usually at 1 o'clock. Pete had some personal matters that pushed it back to 5 p.m.
Yeah, I had alarms going off in my building all day. That's what the personal matters were. Believe me, I can't hear. That's probably why I couldn't hear you guys. I got alarms going off all the time. Believe me. Look who's behind me. I got to check.
You can, by the way, you can subscribe on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. If you're watching the video, we also give away Brinson Sucks hats. Brent, did you know about these, Pete?
I've seen them. You've showed them to me before.
Yeah. You know, we got a whole new batch in. Our buddy Lewis Dahl sent Ryan Wilson a big box of Brinson Sucks toboggans. We could get you one. You could wear one on HQ when you're freezing your ass off in Green Bay in January.
Yeah, or freezing remember when my face froze in Green Bay in Kansas City that one year?
That's exactly as I'm saying. You could be wearing a Brinson Sucks hat.
Why would I have a hat with your name on it in any way? I mean, I agree with the slogan and all, but why would I wear that hat?
Yeah, you were asking if he's seen it. I thought he made them. I thought he sent them to you.
Right? I mean, that's a little too tame for what I would say on the slogan.
Brady Quinn says that he's going to try to wear one to Wisconsin on the Fox big pregame kickoff show or whatever they call it. Or he's going to get somebody in the crowd behind him to put on a Brinson Sucks toboggan, which would be
great. That would be funny.
That would be hilarious, yeah. Anywho, this is the Pick Show, the Best Bet Show. We are going to run through all the games. Pete is going to join us. Just so you know, Pete's going to join us for the first stretch of games and then bounce out of here, and we will continue on with the rest of the games with myself and RJ in week 9. Pete 4-2, scorching.
Ding, ding, ding,
ding. Did not quite take back the overall lead from RJ, but still above 500 with the 4-2 week. I went 4-4, which I'm sure Pete will point out is good for me.
That's good for you. You got a C plus this week. Whee!
I really should have been. And then RJ, an unfortunate 1-4 on the week. The parlay 49ers plus one. Oh, it didn't hit. Wait. We had the Bills over in the parlay. They scored 15 points. What are we?
And did the other one lose too? Because then it would be a clean sweep of losers.
The Chargers covered. The 49ers got blasted. We even got Kyler Murray out, Hopkins out, no Chase Edmonds. 49ers were the worst bet of the week. That was an expensive game. RJ, still four games above 500. There was somebody in the YouTube comments politely requesting that you go on another heater. So if you could do that, that'd be
great. Yeah, I'm trying. I'm getting on the right side of these line moves. You know, you want to get closing line value. So you want, if you're ahead of the line when, by the time it closes, you got to feel good about your chances long term. But the last couple of weeks, it has not mattered. It's you get ahead of the Dak news, it didn't matter. You get ahead of the Kyler news, it didn't matter. So I don't know. I don't know what else you want from me. I'm getting in some good numbers, and it's just not hitting at this point.
You know, the odd thing about last week and you not doing well, RJ, is that it was a chaos week with underdogs going crazy. And, you know, that's typically the week where you like, where I would expect to see you pop up in a big way.
Well, I took a lot of dogs.
Yeah. You took a lot. Yeah. Yep.
Pete and I did the Freaky Friday body switch, and he's been taking the dogs, and I'm taking too many favorites here. So great job by Pete to sniff that out last week.
We actually have posted on the, if you're watching on YouTube, you can actually see a picture of Pete wearing a Brinson Sucks hat.
Where was that? In the office?
It looks like the office, yeah.
Pete, I had to go through my camera roll for that one, but I remembered I caught you in the wild in a Brinson Sucks hat. So, yeah, you've rocked it before.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like the slogan. Just a little tame from my liking.
We have more of those hats.
I'd add at least one more word into there.
Oh God!
Really, right? Brinson really sucks, right? In the middle?
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be the word.
Something on the back end, I think.
No, in the middle.
Yeah. Oh, you would add an F in the middle. Yeah. Yeah. I thought you had.
No, in the middle.
If you want to win one of those Brinson sucks hats or a toboggan, your choice. Show up when we do our live shows after the primetime games, Monday night, Thursday night. If you're after Thursday night football, which already took place down in South Florida, we will, of course, be recapping that. And then Sunday night, show up after those primetime games, and you'll be eligible to enter your name in the chat and get a Brinson Sucks hat. They are high quality.
You don't have one?
I mailed mine to a podcast listener. And then we got more.
Okay.
And Ryan Wilson has them all right now. And you can see.
What is it, a hat company?
No. It's Lewis Dawes is a podcast listener who originally made them. Lives out in Vegas.
Nice. I gotta like that.
Yeah. I actually got when you, me, and Costas were out in Vegas, I actually got a beer with him out there. And good dude. Anywho, let's get to some of the best bets. We start with the Seahawks at the Packers. We were robbed of Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes, but we were not robbed, surprisingly, of Aaron Rodgers versus Russell Wilson. Russ slated to come back for this game. Very quick return from that hand injury that he suffered. And Aaron Rodgers was able to navigate the COVID waters and is believed to be eligible to play. I don't think he can come off the COVID list until Saturday. But I saw Dr. Alan Sills said that he doesn't actually even have to take he didn't even have to pass a COVID test to be able to play on Sunday. He doesn't even have to.
No, he won't have to take another test until the day before the Super Bowl.
I believe that's correct. So what do you think here, Pete? Packers -3, over under 49.5. It's actually creeped up to 3.5 at +100 on Caesars, but we'll be going with 3 as our number for the purpose of the podcast.
I love the Packers in this spot. I know Russell Wilson's coming back as well, but I think that Seattle defense is bad. And it's been bad all year. And I think he's going to be able to make some plays down the field. And the Green Bay defense is getting better. It's a better defense now. Young guys are growing up. Barnes, Gary, Lowry, those guys are getting better by the week. And so Stokes. And so I think this is going to be one of those games where I do think it's going to be high scoring. But I think Green Bay is the pick here. And I think Rodgers is going to come out and play with a vengeance. I'll take the Packers -the points. One of my best bets.
Yeah, as long as he's healthy. I mean, I think the report came out, or he talked about how he was kind of under the weather there. So we'll see how healthy he feels if he's still a little bit under the weather. I like Green Bay too, if he's fine. Russ is back, but that offense wasn't exactly on fire before his injury. And that Green Bay defense is on a strong run despite a few key injuries. You know, like Pete said, they're gelling. Seattle defense had been turning things around the last few weeks, but not against great competition. And the other thing is David Bakhtiari got activated off PUP list. If he plays, that upgrades two spots because he gets to play at tackle again, and then Jenkins kicks inside. So then the offensive line looks even better. But I think if Rodgers is back, Green Bay is going to score plenty at home. I'm not sure Seattle will do the same. So I would lean Green Bay -3. I just want to see a little bit more about Rodgers before I lock that in.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately for Rodgers, I believe his doctor, the esteemed Joe Rogan MD, has cleared him. He said that he'll be fine. So he's you know, anybody who's getting medical advice from Joe Rogan should be good to go. That shouldn't be a problem. I actually think I have bigger concerns with Russ and his return from a medical standpoint than I do Rodgers. Like, certainly the COVID thing could have, we've seen various athletes in different sports have, you know, trouble coming, you know, returning. We saw Cam Newton. I think, was it Jason Tatum, or maybe there was somebody on the Celtics. It was odd. It was like everybody up in New England for whatever reason was having issues with it after they contracted COVID and then, you know, quarantined and returned. So that is a real concern with Rodgers. But like, Russ just had pins taken out of his hand. I mean, don't we have concerns about his ability to grip and throw the ball and to sort of run around with it when, you know, after that? I think that's a bigger concern. I would lean towards the Packers as well. Don't have a best bet on it.
Put it in the parlay.
All right, Packers in the Packers -3, the first game in the parlay, which we haven't hit one all season. We hit like
that's I'm trying to mush Pete's picks, keep him away from my overall record. So put it in the parlay.
I think we got another game that might be in the parlay as well, with the Saints at the Titans. Titans -3, the over under 44.5 here, Pete.
I will take the Saints. And I think this is going to be a low scoring game. I think the Saints are the team, when you look at it, their defense is going to respond. Look, I'm a big believer in team gets up, team wins big game. Following week hadn't played that well. And we've seen it play out the entire season. The Titans didn't do a lot on offense the other night. That was lost in the fact that the defense played well. So I'm going to go with the Saints in this game, but I also like the under. I think it's going to be a really low-scoring game. I think both teams, the Titans' defense is getting better. We saw that the other night. So I'll lean to the Saints and the under in this game.
But real quick, I should note that I think Nick Underhill of New Orleans.football said he believes that Alvin Kamara is, quote, very doubtful for this game. Does that change your opinion at all?
No, not at all. I think this game is going to be won by the defense. I think this is one of those games when you look at it, it's going to be won by their defense. So I'll take the Saints as part of my. I didn't pick them to win the game. I didn't pick them as outright, but I got them in the first part in the teaser. So I'll take the Saints +9 in the teaser.
Yeah, your point about the Titans offense, they gained less than 200 yards in the win. You know, they had those two Carson Wentz level type picks that they benefited from Stafford. And that's not going to cut it moving forward if that's what you're doing on offense. The New Orleans defense isn't performing at a level that matches talent, I think. So maybe Tennessee can score points. But I'm a believer that the New Orleans defense will get it together. Because Tennessee offense didn't look good despite the win versus the Rams, I think we're gifted a little bit of a better line here. Tennessee just rattled off those four wins against Buffalo, Kansas City, Indy, and the Rams in a row. So you would think that even before the Kamara news came out, this would open at more than 3. And because it didn't, I think the books are really begging us to take Tennessee at that point. Now, as Kamara news comes out, it hasn't moved at all yet. The Tennessee defense feels like it's playing an elite level, but they're still 20th in points allowed per drive. So I don't know that they're as good as they've looked the last couple weeks. So I do think that I have it as a best bet at Saints +3, because we're recording this right now when it is 3. But if I'm in the market, if you, people listening and they're in the market, wait, because once Kamara does get ruled doubtful or out or whatever he is, that line is going to go up. I also, like Pete, like the Saints either way. I just would rather have that number above 3. So but don't put, I haven't put it in anywhere yet. I'm waiting to get that 3.5 at least, maybe even 4. But I do like the Saints either way to cover.
Yeah, you would think that Alvin Kamara, I mean, it's wild how much non-quarterbacks are worth to these spreads, right? Like, you would think, like, Alvin Kamara, it's like, oh, that'll let him move 3 points. Nah, it's worth, like, a point. And a lot of times it's baked in as well. I'm on the Saints, too. And, by the way, I mean, you can, you know, I think even with Derrick Henry and Alvin Kamara, I think with Derrick Henry out, people think of the Titans as, you know, maybe they don't really have an identity, but this Titan defense is good. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons has been a monster this year. Harold Landry's having an awesome season. He's actually got tied for third most sacks in the NFL with 9. The only two people who have more are T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett. 18 quarterback hits. That's fourth most in the NFL. And 35 pressures. Only Myles Garrett has more. I mean, this guy's getting off the edge, doing some damage. Bud Dupree having a nice season as well. Kevin,
both of them are banged up though. I believe that I either missed practice or was limited. So from what I read, it wasn't a sure thing.
Nico Autry played really well for him.
Nico Autry's been awesome. Kevin Byard's having I don't know if Deion Sanders still doesn't know who he is, but he's having a huge season. And the Saints defense much better than people think. So I agree. I think it could be a low scoring game. I want the points. The Saints, by the way, all three of their losses have come against teams with below 500, and three of their five wins have been against teams above 500, which is just kind of weird.
That's Sean Payton, man. He gets his team ready in the big games.
He does. I like the Saints here as well. So give me the Saints as a best bet, and we'll throw it in the parlay since we've all got the Saints. Do we have to take the three, or can we get the whatever the line closes at?
No, we're locking it in now on the show.
All right. Packers -3, Saints +3 out of the gate. Two games with the parlay. Bills scored 6 points against the effing Jaguars. I mean, what a world. They lose 6-9 in the Josh Allen crime game. Now they are -12.5. Actually ticked down to 12 at Caesars, but we'll be betting it at 12.5 at the New York Jets. Over under 47.5 here, Pete.
Yeah, and I watched that tape closely the other day, and this is the second game in which Brian Daboll has had a bad plan, really bad plan. The Jaguars are terrible in defense, or they're getting better, but there's no way they should be able to limit them to 6 points. They had a plan to attack him and blitz him and play coverage behind it, and they rolled a bunch of different things, and they handed the ball off only 9 times to the running backs in a 9-6 game. You can't win that way. I'm a pass-first guy, but you got to be able to run the ball. So I think they respond here. We've heard all week long about how they're going to get the run game going. I think they get the run game going. The Jets are bad on defense. So I'm going to take Buffalo as part of the second leg of my teaser. I don't want to lay that many points. If I had to pick the game, I would pick the Bills. But I'm going to tease it down to 6 to go with my Saints other end of it, get 9. So I'll take the Saints +9, the Bills -6 in my teaser.
Two games now with Buffalo offense not looking right. I want to say they'll be fine, but we're still waiting for the Chiefs offense to look fine, and that hasn't happened yet. So I don't think there's any guarantee that the Bills just get it magically turned around. I do think they should be able to take advantage of this defense that continues to get blasted. The Jets offense somehow has almost 1,000 yards in their last two games. So even though the defense is terrible, so I don't know what Robert Saleh, defensive genius, is doing there, but it seems like the offense is way ahead of the defense right now. If the Buffalo offense is fundamentally okay, I think Buffalo probably covers, and I think this game gets over, but it's just going to be a stay away for me.
I've got the Bills as a best bet here. Looking at this game, the Jets have given up 43.3 points per game, 20 plus yard plays, 467 yards per game, and have allowed opponents to convert 81.3% of their red zone trips into touchdowns in the last three games. That is obscene how bad that is on defense. This is two things. One, as Pete points out, it's a get right game. It's not a must win game because the Bills are in good shape, but it's sort of a must get right game. Like if you're going to be the Bills and you're going to act like you're a legitimate contender in a season when the Chiefs are down and the AFC is wide open, I mean, you got to go in and flex your muscles here. And as Pete points out, they should be able to run the ball, or at least attempt to run the ball more. And I don't know that it's a Steph Diggs squeaky wheel game, because he hasn't been complaining about it. He's been handling it really well. The fact that Cole Beasley is for some reason the number one option lately in Dable's plans. But I think it's a let's show off Steph Diggs. He's been doing way too many deep developing routes. 32% are either, I think, post goes or corners, as opposed to 22% from last year. And then the Bills defense, 5 passing touchdowns allowed, 5.6 yards per attempt, 1,416 pass yards allowed, and 11 interceptions, right? I mean, this is like a combination of Jacoby Brissett, Sam Darnold, and Tim Tebow that they've turned opposing quarterbacks into, and they get the legendary Mike White. I got the Bills as the best bet. I think they run up the score in this one. They haven't been afraid to do it against division rivals, and they covered the double digits against the Dolphins, even though it was a sort of a joke. Rams -4 at the 49ers on Monday Night Football. Over under 49. The debut, one would think, of Odell Beckham in a Rams uniform. Are you gonna hop on the OBJ train here, Pete?
Well, I really like the Rams until they agreed the terms with Odell Beckham. Now that might change. I think the Rams are one of those teams that got caught in a bad game, and by the end of it, they looked up and they go, what the hell just happened to us? And I think they'll respond. Sean McVay's too good a coach not to. The 49ers are dreadful on defense. I mean, just awful. And offensively, their line has issues. I think Donald's going to feast in this game. I think this is going to be a dominant performance by the Rams. I will take the Rams as one of my best bets, minus the four.
San Francisco lost Mike McGlinchey too, and Rams, you know, probably getting Von Miller in this game. So good luck, Jimmy G. You're going to be running for your life, I think, in this one. So the Rams are coming off that embarrassing loss due to bad turnovers. They should be pissed off. They should be up for this game. San Francisco has won four straight against the Rams. I'm sure McVay already had this game circled as a must-win, saying I could beat Kyle Shanahan and prove it, because Kyle Shanahan's had his number the last couple of years. So I'm a strong lean on the Rams. I wanted to wait because it looked like it was going to come down at 3.5 before this Odell news. So I didn't want to play it at four here and then think that we're going to get 3.5 later. So, but now that Odell's, I think, probably locked in at four, I don't know if it's going to move. So go ahead and play it at four if you want. Home field has meant little this year. The Rams are the far better team than San Francisco. So I think value is on the Rams here.
Man, I kind of wanted to take the 49ers, and you guys are scaring me. I mean, not as the best bet, just as both of these two primetime games. You got Raiders plus 2.5. You got division matchups, Raiders plus 2.5, San Francisco plus 4 on Sunday night and Monday night. I mean, nobody's going to want to bet on the home dogs in these division matchups. The Rams are the better team. The Rams are a much better team. The Rams are coming off a loss. They should be motivated. Like you said, there's offensive line woes for the 49ers. I just lean towards San Francisco because it just feels like no one is going to want to be on San Francisco. Everybody's out on San Francisco. You can say the Rams are desperate for a win. The 49ers are desperate for a win. I mean, they got to get a win. And as we point out, Kyle Shanahan's had success against Sean McVay in their past. I'm going to take the 49ers, but I don't really feel great about it. So that's just a lean for me. Not a best bet. Sorry to ruin putting it in the parlay.
The advanced stats are on your side too. I know the advanced stats love the 49ers still, DVOA and yards per play differential and those type of things. So they don't pass the eye test for me. I'm kind of on the side with Pete there. I just don't think that they're very good. But the advanced stats seem to like them. So maybe they'll show that the second half.
They may very well stink. I mean, they just lost to Colt McCoy on the road in sort of a must win game. And then, it's unbelievable. Falcons at the Cowboys. Cowboys minus 9. Over under 54.5. The Cowboys got absolutely smoked by the Broncos last week. Nearly should have been shut out. I mean, the two touchdowns were absolute literal garbage time for Dak Prescott. But by the way, what are you doing playing him at that point in time?
What is he doing? I'm with you 100%. What the hell is he doing in the game? CeeDee Lamb went into that game banged up, and he's in the game. What are they doing?
Yeah, get him out of there. The game's over. Like, you don't need to. I feel like a lot of times coaches might do that, Pete. And I don't know if you think this theory holds any water, but it's sort of like Mike McCarthy. If you score 16 points or 14 points, it makes the humiliating loss look less worse. So that's why you leave him in there. I mean, it's just stupid.
Or to make him feel better about going the next week. Hey, he did something at the end of the half. I don't buy it. I never have.
Imagine taking him out and then Cooper Rush gets those two touchdowns. And then all of a sudden you have a quarterback controversy. Oh my God, Cooper Rush playing so much better than Dak.
Stop it, RJ. Just stop it. I think this number's too big. That's why I took it. What do we see from the Cowboys? And I know the Cowboys were banged up a little bit last week, but what do we see from them that would make you think that they should lay 9 points? I know the Falcons are playing back-to-back road games. Coming off a big division winner, so I'm kind of bucking my trend a little bit. I don't think they're going to win the game, but I think they'll hang around here. Matt Ryan is playing great football, and I'm talking about great football, because he hasn't had the full complement guys all year, and he's still throwing for good yardage and making good plays. So I'm going to take the Falcons plus the 9 because I think the number's bloated.
Yeah, I'm with you. He shook off a bad day against Carolina to have his best game of the season against the Saints. He's playing really well right now. Dallas fell apart without Tyron Smith. There's no guarantee he's back next week. We'll want to monitor that. And I think if you see any news that he's not going to play, definitely jump on Atlanta at that point. I'm on them right now at plus 9. I think that's too high as well. Dallas has surrendered 28 plus points to Carolina, New England, and Denver. That's not exactly a murderer's row of offenses there. So even if Dallas offense gets right, I think Matt Ryan's going to have plenty of opportunity to backdoor cover with how he's playing right now because of Dallas defense. isn't exactly a lockdown defense with those big point totals are given up against mediocre offenses. So I plus nine is too many for me. It should be probably seven or so. So I like it as a best bet.
Really quick, on this one. Hey, yeah. Will, real quick. The last time the Cowboys and Falcons played without Tyron Smith, Adrian Claiborne had six sacks.
That's right. Claiborne, it was like the epic Adrian Claiborne out of nowhere game. I was about to say, like, now the other thing too, don't sleep on Dan Quinn revenge game.
No.
He's going to try harder.
He knows Matt Ryan.
He's going to coach
anybody else in the league.
Pete, he's going to coach so much harder this week. Like he's going to coach so much harder trying to get back at the guys who fired him.
Yeah, sure he is. He really likes most of the people other than probably Arthur Blank. And he probably, right. Knowing Dan Quinn, probably one of the nicest guys in the league, he probably likes Arthur Blank too.
Yeah, exactly.
Also looks like, I didn't mention this, no Randy Gregory, it looks like. I think he suffered an injury in practice. So that's going to take a little bit out of the pass rush that maybe could have took Matt Ryan off his mark a little more. So we'll see. Maybe they have to use Michael Parsons more as a pass rusher.
I mean, honestly, I think that my pick for this game will probably come down to whether Tyron Smith plays or not. I mean, like, he's that big. Does he make a bigger difference than Dak? He really might be the biggest difference. I mean, not really.
No.
It looked like your sample size of one game each looked like it the last two weeks. Yeah.
Play the rest of this. Ask the Cowboys right now if they'd rather play the rest of the season without Dak or Tyron Smith. I guarantee you it's without Tyron Smith. With Dak and not Tyron Smith.
He makes a bigger difference than Zeke for sure. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I'm taking Dallas, but I will probably change my pick on the site on Friday, depending on whether or not Tyron Smith is ruled out. If he's a game time, then I'll just ride out the Dallas. But the Falcons are not very good. I know that they got Matt Ryan's playing well. He really is. All they have is Pitts and like Amedia Zacharias. Like they need Ridley back. They shouldn't have traded. There's something. Dallas is, if they have Tyron Smith, bounces back in a big way on offense here. And I think the defense,
they got really beat up last week, Dallas. Bad. They got beat up, physically beat up.
I think the defense will, I really do think the defense will like win one for Quinn. Just come in and like want to shut down the Falcons for their coach who's done a good job this year. So I'll take Dallas, but I don't love it. Next up, Jaguars at Colts. Some of these games suck, man. The first 2 weeks were incredible, and the first 3 or 4 weeks were great, and like the last like 4 or 5 weeks have just been kind of I guess that's life in the NFL.
It's a big game for the Colts.
Huge game for the Colts. Must win game for Carson, my man Carson Wentz. Colts are -10.5. That line has not moved. The total still sitting at 47.5. Of course, this game is in Indianapolis. Pete, is your man Urban Meyer finding these wins all over the place? Going to find another one in this game?
No, he's not going to find a win, but he's going to find a cover. I got two best bets in this game. I think the Jacksonville defense against the run has been pretty solid this year.
They have been.
And I think when you look at the Colts, what do they want to do? All they want to do, they want to run the ball. They did get the Urban Meyer last week, right? They got the 250 and 250. They're not going to get the Urban Meyer. Yeah, they're not going to get the Urban Meyer in this game. I don't think they're going to move the ball as well as we've seen. I think they'll put it on Carson Wentz. And I don't know how good he is. They don't scare anybody down the field. Pittman's the only guy. So I think it's going to be played. And we know the Jaguars can't move the football. They're not good on offense at all. So it's going to be played in the phone booth. It's going to be a low-scoring game. I think the Colts will win the game. But if you're going to give me 10.5, I'll take it. And they've all traditionally played the Colts very well, the Jaguars, even when they've been bad. And I'll take the under in this game. So I got two best bets, under in Jacksonville, plus the 10.5.
Their only win last year. This is the same number Indy just covered against the Jets. And the Jags are, I think, around as bad as the Jets, maybe even as bad. All four Indy wins have been by double digits. They should be expected to blow out bad teams at this point, as long as they can avoid stupid wins, turnovers, which isn't a given on any day. That could happen, and he can you know, fall apart at any time. The Indy defense didn't look great against the Jets, and Jacksonville's defense coming off a massive game. I think there's probably slight value on Jacksonville, but you know, I wanted to play Indy based on they just beat as good Jets team by 15. I don't know why they couldn't win this one by 15. So I'm just going to stay away from this one.
Yeah, I would go under if I did anything here. I think I'm trying to think what I picked for the site. I believe I went with the Jaguars and Indy to win, Jaguars to cover. Again, all these spreads that are in the 10.5 range are just kind of terrifying. I mean, you know, it's begging you to take the Jaguars here, I feel like, but they do keep it close. For me, this all depends on will Frank Reich come into this game and try and like let Carson Wentz air it out early. Because if he does that, they can light the Jaguars up and force Trevor Lawrence into dropping back a ton and trying to come back. I tend to think that Frank Reich will be a little stubborn and try to come into this game and run the football a lot with Jonathan Taylor and maybe some Nyheim Hines mixed in there as well, Marlon Mack, and just won't get any traction there because, as Pete points out, the Jaguars aren't good against the run. So are the Colts. And so the under is the direction I would look if I were forced to bet this. I would take the Jaguars plus the 10.5. Pete, I think we're – oh, look at that. Tony Pritchard says, Adrian Claiborne would have had 50 sacks against Pete Prisco. Would have paid to see that in person.
Oh! Oh! High, down hard!
I might have done something dirty before that happened.
Lord. Like what?
Chop the backside of the leg or something.
Pete twisted his ankle like Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Along those lines.
All right, Pete, you're free to go. You got through your best bets.
I want to hear, you guys will tell me later on, we got to get one more pick for the parlay. You guys decide it, and I'm all. I think this is the week we're winning it, by the way.
I think so, too. RJ, is there anything that stood out to you for a possible
that we haven't talked about yet?
Give me your
How about Jacksonville Indy under?
I don't think RJ likes it.
I don't love it. But if you guys want to play, I mean, I'm not great at total. So no, if you guys really want to play,
pick something coming up in your picks and I'll, all right,
all right. I'll look at what you've got on the site and we'll find something that matches up.
Okay. All right.
All right.
See you, all right, guys.
Pete. See you, buddy. You know, sometimes it's nice to feel so, you know, they say, RJ, look good, feel good, play good. Got to dress for success. And our folks, our guys at Indochino, our guys and gals at Indochino have some of the best looking custom clothes on the planet. You can, two ways, by the way. You can go to Nordstrom's. They're all locked into these Nordstrom's now. If you prefer getting measured in the store, you know, getting out of your house, seeing people, engaging with other human beings, and actually, you know, trying on the shirt, getting it custom fit and all of that, you can do that at Nordstrom's. But if you're like me, if you're a recluse who needs lots of collared shirts and for the billion videos we do every day and every week, and you prefer not to engage with people and you don't like to talk to people, Indochino's site is unbelievable because you can go on there and it walks you through step by step every single measurement on to make sure you get the perfectly custom fitted shirt. You measure yourself at home, you get your shoulders, you get your waist, anything, custom suit, however you want to do it, right? I mean, you get your arm length, you get like
RJ, he was so excited about shirts that he just left us.
He went to go buy one right now. He just said, I gotta stop
in
this
car and run to Nordstrom's.
Uh-oh. I think he's going buying shirts right now. That's amazing. So I guess we're going to get him back in a little bit. I was flipping through the Pete's picks and Brinson's picks and matching them up. I think I got a good parlay pick for us as the third pick that they both matched on. I didn't make it a best bet. I was going to make it a best bet. I wanted to tease it instead, but I'm definitely going to play it as a best bet at some point.
Measurements I didn't even know that I needed to have. But in all seriousness, there's like a ton of measurements to make sure you get the perfectly custom fitted clothes. I found it to be like, I mean, and like normally that sort of thing when you're trying to do it online would be overwhelming, but I found it to be easy, simple. You're able to get all those measurements plugged in and you get your custom measurements, your custom shirt, perfectly fitted. I'm not going to lie, gained a few LBs during the old pandemic. And so I needed some new shirts, tried them on, the Indochino shirts. Fantastic. And now for our audience, we have a little deal for you. Because it's good prices too, by the way. The suits start at like $299 and shirts from $45 with all those customizations included. Like the prices are already great. And you can get away from video calls. Be like me. Get away from the video calls and get back into looking and feeling amazing. Indochino's Black Friday event runs from November 8th. It's on right now through the 29th. You can save even more and get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more by using promo code PICKSIX, PICKSIX, at Indochino.com. That's $50 off a purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com. Promo code PICKSIX.
And that's INDOCHINO.com. Promo code PICKSIX, PICKSIX.
Yeah, I guess I should know that when it has the dashes through the letters, I'm supposed to read those letters, huh?
That's what I'm here for.
Thanks, Debo. You're the best. By the way, my wife's thrilled that you followed her back on Twitter. Absolutely thrilled. I actually don't think she knows, which is kind of funny. So Pete's gone. Let's get into the rest of our best bets. Lions at the Steelers, RJ. Steelers are -9 in the spot. The over under a robust 42.5.
This is ugly. Last week was ugly dog week. It's going to be ugly dog week again. I got a best bet on the Lions +9. I can make zero case for them being a solid team at this point. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this against a team that just played on Monday Night Football. That's a big gap in rest, in preparation. And Steelers just didn't look that good. Winless teams this late in the season tend to have value on inflated spreads. People think that they're just never going to win a game, and you can get a little point or two of value here. Lions activated Taylor Decker during the bye. He's going to give the offensive line some help, so that's good. Chase Claypool's injury makes the Pittsburgh offense easier to defend, limits their scoring upside. They don't have a ton of guys to pass to. So I love fading Pittsburgh as huge favorites in general. Haven't won by more than one score yet this year. This feels like a great spot for Lions to come and get an ugly cover like they had against the Ravens, like they had against the Vikings. One team that's definitely better than the Steelers team and Vikings. I guess you can make an argument that they're better too. But a +9 is just too many. Love Lions as a best bet.
The last time the Steelers hosted the Lions, it didn't win. 1959. The game ended in a 10-10 tie. Johnny Unitas was the NFL MVP that season and rookie head coach for the Green Bay Packers. This guy named Vince Lombardi actually won Coach of the Year award. Not too shabby. So that was a long, long time ago. The Steelers have won 5 straight meetings. They're 13-2 against the Lions in the Super Bowl era. Our research team just cruelly was crapping on the Lions because they put together a franchise comparison in the Super Bowl era. The Steelers have had 3 head coaches, whereas the Lions have had 18. The Steelers have 503 wins, the Lions 347, 36 playoff wins for the Steelers, 1 for the Lions, 8 Super Bowl appearances for Pittsburgh, 0 for Detroit. Actually, I'm not sure if it's 3. I think it's 3 coaches, right? But Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and Mike Tomlin, right? That's it.
Right.
I tend to agree with you on taking Detroit. Ryan Wilson has been talking about this for weeks and weeks and weeks, and really years and years, about how Detroit loved every year. I mean, Mike Tomlin's a Hall of Fame coach, but every year there's a game where they just kind of get snuck on. And it looked like that game might have been, it wasn't Chicago because it felt like they were taking care of business and it was on the road too. So a little bit different vibe. Obviously they didn't cover against in that game, but they did win. I think it's the same thing where Pittsburgh just won't score a lot of points. So this is where they feed Najee Harris. We're going to see some Benny Snell, and they don't want to have to throw a lot with Ben. Coming out of the bye, Dan Campbell knows he's got to just get maximum effort from his team to try and win one, because they've been so close, and at some point it's just going to wear off. I think it's a good spot for the Lions as well. So I would lean towards the Lions. Do we think Pete takes the Lions here?
No, I looked at his picks when you were gone. You were reading that, so he liked Pittsburgh. So I the one thing I didn't check is whether Steelers team MVP Tony Corrente is going to be reffing this game. So as long as he's not the ref, I like the Detroit.
What an unbelievable joke that was. Vikings at the Chargers. Chargers -3, over under 53, RJ.
Yeah, at 3, I got a best bet on the Vikings. At 2.5, I might lean Chargers. I mean, I just think this game is right in the 3. Minnesota wants to run the ball. They can do so against the league's worst rush D in this matchup. Minnesota's defense, though, has been awful the last few weeks. They let Baltimore hold the ball for more than 46 minutes. That was, I believe, the 11th most time of possession a team has had since the Stathead database goes back to whatever it is, like 1983 or whatever. So the defense just couldn't get off the field. I think the Chargers, talent-wise, are a better team. But actually with both of these teams, I have zero clue which team I'm getting every week, week in and week out. It could be the bad team, the good team. You just don't know. The one thing that pushed me to make Vikings the best bet is that the Chargers defense dealing with several injuries at cornerback. They had a guy filling in with his first start. Last week, he tore his ACL. So, I mean, now you're going even further down the depth chart at cornerback. It feels like Justin Jefferson or Adam Thielen could have a big day. And you couple that with a running game that I don't think is going to get stopped by this bad Chargers rush defense, that this game could go over as long as Justin Herbert's going off as well. And he probably will against this Vikings defense. But plus three, I think the Vikings are going to cover that. It looks like the market might want to move to 3.5 at some point. So you can see here on our screen, the Chargers are -3, -115, while the Vikings are +3, -105. And I've seen even a little bit higher juice. So kind of waiting to get in 3.5 into the 3.5 business here and take the Vikings because I think they cover that.
I think this game is going to be a shootout. And neither one of these teams likes to finish off other teams, you know, in terms of like closing them out and not letting them back in the door. You know what I mean? Like we saw with the Eagles and the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers are going to make everything hard. Everything's going to be close. And the Vikings, I think 5 of their 9 games, maybe 6 of their 9 games have come down to the final play, which is just wild. They're going to, and I like the over here as a best bet. And here's why. I think both teams will want to run and try to run, but eventually they're going to get some shot plays. You're going to see the Chargers move the ball down the field. And I say it every week, but the Vikings like to elevate their opponent's play total because of they're going to try and stack the box, prevent the Chargers from running. They'll go up top over the Vikings defense, which is banged up already. And we're going to see a bunch of plays. This is going to be my favorite game in DFS to stack. Total of 53 makes a lot of sense. I think I'll probably have Herbert go into Keenan Allen, who's really seen his target share jump back up, and then play it back with Justin Jefferson, who is kind of in line for a squeaky wheel game. They've been talking about how his 9 targets over 2 games is just not acceptable. So I think he's due for an explosion spot at some point. I like the Chargers here, but I prefer the over as a best bet. The Chiefs, Sunday Night Football. The Chiefs somehow 5-4, just right there in the mix, 2 games back. They are headed to Las Vegas where they will play the Raiders. Chiefs -2.5, over under 51.5.
Yeah, this is going to be our third parlay game because you and Pete match up on your picks on the site, and I like it too. I just think it's going to move to 3. So what I did is I threw it in a teaser. So I got Vegas +8.5 on a teaser. I think this line is way off unless this is the week that Kansas City fixes everything, but I don't know how you can say that this is going to be definitely going to be the week when it hasn't been the last 6-7 weeks, whatever it's been. So Vegas outplayed Giants for the most part last week. They lost on stupid turnovers. They lost on that pick 6. But that's not the type of loss where I think you can call Vegas frauds. But that's kind of what this line is doing. They're saying the Raiders aren't legit and the Chiefs are going to get it turned around here, with the Chiefs being 2.5-point road favorites in this game. The Chiefs' defense has looked better lately, but it's largely against poor offenses. Vegas is top 10 in yards per play, so I think they might have a little more success than some of the last few teams have. And the Vegas defense is 2nd in net yards per pass attempt, so you would want to run the ball on that type of team. But Kansas City's not going to come out and just run the ball. We know that Patrick Mahomes wants to keep chucking it and keep moving the ball with the pass. So I think they're going to get to – Vegas is going to get to 3 at some point. I'm going to play them as a best bet and get them as a play at 3 when that happens. But for now, teaser up to +8.5. First leg of the teaser is the way I'm playing it on this podcast.
Yeah, I don't have a I don't think I had a best bet. No, I don't have a best bet on this game, but I do like the Raiders. And I know, man, the Chiefs, like, are they gonna wake up and go nuts? Am I crazy for liking Patrick Mahomes to win MVP at 60-1 or 70-1 or 80-1 or whatever else you can find it? 61 on Caesars.
I think it's going to be hard for him to win at this point because now he has the narrative of a whole first half of the season where he hasn't played well. Even if his numbers look at the end of the year, it'd be like the Chiefs were not the Chiefs for a whole half of the year. So it's hard to give that guy an MVP.
Yeah, probably. It feels stupid after a full half a season to keep suggesting that, all right, the Chiefs are going to get right. Like, they're going to flip the switch at some point. It's going to happen. And it just keeps not happening. But I don't know. I'm terrified to take the Raiders here, but this is a huge, like, this is a spot that we've seen Derek Carr and company and obviously John Gruden, not there anymore, get up for. I'm a little worried about, you know, clearly there are bigger issues with the loss of Henry Ruggs than what the Raiders lose on the field. But I mean, that is a big component to what they were doing on offense. He was, you know, playing well. this is just a big, big spot. If this were a 4 p.m. game, I think that I would take the Chiefs. But because it's that Sunday night football, as well as Mahomes plays, everybody's going to be on the Chiefs. The Raiders know that if they win this game, they really solidify their playoff standing and can potentially, you know, push the Chiefs further down into the basement where maybe the Chiefs don't make the playoffs, and that makes life easier for anybody who gets into the postseason. I would lean towards the over as well here. I have the Raiders as a pick on the site, but don't have a best bet on the game. Browns at the Patriots.
We're playing the parlay though, right? That's our third leg of the parlay.
You think does Pete have the Raiders?
Pete has them on the site too, and I would have them, but I think it's going to go to three. So,
all right, let's do it. There it is. We got Saints plus three, Packers minus three, and Raiders plus 2.5. Hmm. So we'd like to get that three for the Raiders. Obviously, if you bet in the parlay, try to get that three. Browns at the Patriots. Patriots minus 2.5, over under 45. This line has jumped all over the place, RJ. Got down to like almost maybe even a pick 'em. Maybe Patriots minus one, open to Pats minus three, has climbed right back up, got to Pats minus three, and now has settled in at Pats minus 2.5.
Well, you can understand because now Nick Chubb, it looks like he's not playing. So, of course, that line has to shoot back up because we've seen the rush offense fall apart without Nick Chubb. You know, D'Ernest Johnson came in that one game and did absolutely nothing except win a lot of fantasy leagues for anybody who scooped him up and started him. So I think they're going to be just fine. I don't think that Nick Chubb really affects the line that much. So if you liked the Browns as it was going down, you should still like them now. I think Cleveland was a bit fortunate to score 41 against the Bengals. They only had 14 first downs versus 25 for Cincinnati. Bill Belichick isn't going to let his defense give up those explosive plays. They had three plays of 60-plus yards, including the pick six. So it's really going to be on the Browns to sustain drives in this one because I don't think they're going to get those huge plays. The Cleveland defense coming off a great game and ranked second in yards per attempt allowed. So the Patriots need to run as well. But, you know, we're saying I think the Nick Chubb news is what's moved this line, but nobody really cares that Damian Harris has a concussion. We don't know if he's going to play. Ramondre Stevenson has a concussion. He hasn't practiced. So it might be, you know, Brandon Bolden and J.J. Taylor running the ball in a game where they need to run to win. So I think the New England defense is certainly going to find a way to limit Cleveland's run game. Force Mayfield to win with his arm. Probably going to be a low-scoring game. I liked it as under 45. I put that in on the Sportsline site. But this feels like Cleveland games the previous 2 weeks or the New England game last week, low-scoring rock fight. That's why I'm teasing this up. This is the second leg of my teaser. Put the Browns up to 8.5. Pair it with the Raiders plus 8.5. I don't think either one of those games get out of hand, really.
Yeah, I would agree on that, on the under there. That's a good look. We're talking about D'Ernest Johnson and Brandon Bolden potentially being the primary running backs on two teams that primarily want to run the football. Cleveland's run defense has been really good. Myles Garrett, of course, playing excellent football. I think Belichick will want to limit limit the dropback exposures for Mac Jones in this game. I want to say that the weather might be a factor too. Let me look this up. Sunday, high of 52. Not too bad. I mean, just some mild winds and not really a chance of rain. If the weather shifts at all, it looks like it's going to rain a lot on Thursday, Friday, or Friday and Saturday in New England. If the weather and Monday, looks like it could be, I guess that's rain, not snowfall. So, you know, Sunday is currently tracking as a good forecast, but if that shifts at all, that would make it an even more of an under game, I think. We're just not going to, just going to run the ball. Both teams are going to run the ball. Minimize exposure for the quarterbacks against defenses that can, wreak havoc. And I don't think we see a lot of scoring. I've got New England. I'm just sort of a believer in what the Pats are turning this thing into. It feels like a 2001 Pats team with a young quarterback making plays. You got rushing the football. You've got this no-name sort of defense where guys are coming on. Christian Barmore's playing his tail off as should probably deserve defensive rookie of the year consideration. So I like the Pats here, but I don't think they'll cover a huge number. I think the teaser move is a good play. Eagles at the Broncos. Broncos minus 2.5 over under 45 is actually ticked up a little bit. Denver's getting some steam. They're 2.5 minus 115 at Caesars right now. And the total up to 45.5, RJ.
Yeah, it looks like people are expecting some points in this one. Philly's offense has played well the last 2 weeks due to the run game versus against awful run defenses. Denver ranks 11th in yards per rush, only gave up 78 rush yards to Dallas, though, so I don't know if Philly offense is going to have success just running the ball. Denver's felt like an overrated team over the first 2 months, and I said it before during that stretch where they were beating awful teams. But last week was a statement win. I mean, you can't say take anything away from them for that win, especially after trading away Von Miller, and to come out look like that was pretty awesome for them. My problem with them, though, I was getting ready to go to Denver and lean to Denver. I'm leaning to Philly, though. Denver's going to have to overcome some offensive line injuries. Garrett Bowles might not be back for this game. They lost Glasgow. They lost Bobby Massey. They're both out. So that's a lot of shuffling on that offensive line to deal with a pretty good Eagles front. I know it hasn't been a great year for the Eagles, but that's a pretty imposing front when you got to handle guys like Fletcher Cox and those guys up front. So I like the Denver coaching staff better than the Philly coaching staff. So if it's a close game, I think that makes the difference. But right now, I think Philly might just be a little bit more fortunate with these injuries and take advantage of that injury issue for Denver.
I spotted a weird comment in the old YouTubes. I got the under here at 45. The Eagles have dramatically shifted over the last couple of weeks into a really run-heavy team. Now, not to say that they're like great at it or anything, and part of that is going up against the Chargers, who are a run funnel, and you see that happen a ton. I just expect a lot of conservative play calling when you've got Teddy Bridgewater on one side and you have Jalen Hurts going up against a defense that just showed out in a big way against the Cowboys. My lean is to Philly. I picked them on the site. Think it's sort of a letdown spot for Denver. They they get all amped up after the Von Miller trades and open their eyes. They go into Dallas. They shut down the Cowboys. Everybody's pumped up about the Broncos, and you get a little bit of an overreaction there. I think Philly will keep it close and maybe win the game. Clearly, you want to get 3 rather than 2.5 if you can. I will take a best bet on the under. Panthers at the Cardinals. Cardinals minus 10.5, over under 44. I don't think we know whether Kyler is going to play, right?
Yeah, I don't think we know yet, and it's hard to know what to do until we know if he's playing. Even after last week's surprise win, I wouldn't take that win as indicative of they're going to be fine. Carolina's offense has posted less than 200 net passing yards in 5 straight, though. Something must change, and it looks like they finally identified it because they brought in Matt Barkley. And so they signed Matt Barkley. Okay, just run over my joke, Princeton. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Cam's going to be a good fit. I don't think he's going to play this week. I don't think he's going to be big into the game plan this week. So probably going to be a PJ Walker game. He hasn't looked good. Carolina's defense, though, has been mostly great this year, minus the Dallas and Minnesota games. They're not getting any help from the offense. It feels like Coach of the Year is Kingsbury's to lose, especially if Kyler doesn't play and they roll in this one. But maybe Mike Vrabel gets the number one seed without Derrick Henry, and people vote for him. So going to be a good fight there. But this number is too high right now to know how to play it without Kyler. I wouldn't want to back the Packers the Panthers with PJ Walker, just the way he's looked, because that Cardinals defense, I think, probably win this game running away if they have to.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, it all depends on Kyler. I mean, Cam Newton, Matt Rhule said PJ Walker is going to start. Cam Newton is probably not going to play in this game. Look, Panthers offense is a disaster. I mean, a hot mess. People are concerned about their jobs as a result of how bad it's been. And, they basically may have brought in Cam Newton just to paper over the fact that they gave up a second round pick for Sam Darnold. I mean, I cannot confirm or deny that. I'll take the Panthers plus the 10.5 just because it's too much. And I think that I could see the Cardinals saying, let's sit Kyler. We can win this game without him, and he needs to get healthy. But I don't feel good about it and wouldn't want to make the bet until we know about whether or not Kyler is playing. I think that line is a little bit of a protection spot too for the books, where they, with no Kyler, is it 7-6?
I think they let the market determine, because they determined last week that it should move a bunch and it didn't matter. And so I don't know that anybody's going to be rushing to grab the Panthers with PJ Walker. It's a little bit different situation than what we had with the 49ers last week. Especially after Colt McCoy looked fine. So, I think they probably don't even remove it. They just leave it up and let people do what they're going to do and think that go ahead and grab the Panthers if you want, we'll be fine giving you plus 10.5, plus 10, plus 9.5. And figuring that Arizona is going to come out and win this game.
Tony Pritchard says that the Matt Barkley joke whenever my over my head faster than my hairpiece in a windstorm. Finally, Bucks minus 9.5 at the WFTs. Buccaneers coming off of their bye. This is the actual matchup, the actual rematch from that playoff game where Taylor Heinicke started against Tom Brady and nearly took down Tom Brady. The biggest test that the Packers team was really close to, but it was a surprising test from the Washington football team against Tom Brady and the Bucs in the playoffs. Will they, as 9.5-point favorites at home, be able to test Tom Brady in this game, RJ?
And Tom Brady, has circled this game, was ready to play this game ever since. He doesn't like those up-and-coming young quarterbacks that make their mark on the league and establish himself as the next Tom Brady. So I'm sure he's wanted to get his licks in on. Now, I don't think it really matters. The weird thing to me is that the line moved 2 points off the look-ahead of Tampa minus 7.5, and neither team played. Buccaneers coming off their bye, Washington coming off their bye. So why is the line moving, 2 points? Maybe it's because they expected better health from the Bucs offense, but now it looks like whatever Antonio Brown has, Chris Godwin caught, because he might not play. So we'll see who plays.
Those guys trending towards really legitimately not playing. Mike Evans, potential explosion spot for Mike Evans.
No guarantee Gronk comes back in this game. Scott Miller might not play, so it might be like the Tyler Johnson and Mike Evans show, and then O.J. Howard. So we'll see how that goes. I should want to play Washington and fade that weird move, but their defense is 32nd in points per drive, and with 2 weeks to prepare, Tom Brady's offense might score 50. I don't care who's playing receiver. You and me can play receiver, and he might be able to do that. So is Washington going to keep up with that? I mean, Tampa's defense should be healthier coming out of the bye, too. They were dealing with injuries before the bye. If I knew we could count on this Washington defense, maybe this would be a game, and I like Washington. I'm not going to want to play it at 9.5, so I'm just going to stay away.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on this one a bunch because Tampa can just absolutely destroy somebody if they feel like it. But I sort of wonder if Tom Brady is necessarily going to want to throw a ton without his top weapons. You can get some valuable reps for Tyler Johnson and these tight ends down the line and all that, but I could see a situation where they want to score early, score often, and then just pound the ball with Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones and try to get out of Dodge with a win and gear up for the back half of their schedule. Cause you don't want to suffer any more injuries on that offense, with those guys already banged up, because then all of a sudden you're really shorthanded heading into the meat of your schedule where you got all these division games. Washington just isn't very good. I mean, they off the bye, maybe they'll cook some stuff up. I don't think it's a look ahead spot for Ron Rivera going back to Carolina, but I mean, certainly, that feels like a more winnable game in Charlotte than this one does at home against Tampa Bay. I think I ended up going with, I think I just took Tampa Bay to cover just because I don't trust Washington to come back at all. And I think Tampa, with the way Bruce Arians and Tom Brady play, while I don't think they will, they are not afraid to keep scoring. So I'd rather bank on the Bucs offense continuing to score than banking on Washington having to come through the back door. So I went in that direction with my pick, but certainly not a best bet. All right, let's recap it all and get out of here. The won't hit, can't win parlay. Packers minus 3, Saints minus 3, Raiders plus 2.5. Pete Prisco's best bets. Saints plus 3. That was a typo from Devo. Fixed. Pete Prisco's best bets. He has a teaser on the Saints plus 9 and the Bills minus 6.5. He has the Falcons plus 9, the Packers minus 3, Rams minus 4, Jaguars plus 10.5, and the Jaguars Colts under 47.5. RJ's best bets, the Atlanta Falcons plus 9, New Orleans plus 3, Detroit plus 9, Minnesota plus 3, and a teaser with Las Vegas and Cleveland both to 8.5. And my best bets, the Bills minus 12.5, the Saints plus 3, the Vikings and the Chargers over 53, the Eagles and the Broncos under 45, and the Cowboys and the Falcons under 54.5. It's a little light slate for me. 5 games. Big slate for old Pete Prisco. Somebody creeped into my office while I was reading that. I can't tell if it was my wife or my son. Scared the crap out of me, though. I hope it was somebody in my family.
Anyway, if it was OBJ, looking
on OBJ. Hello, Odell.
Report some details on his deal.
Yeah, right. All right. that'll do it for us. That's it for the Pick Show, the Best Bet Show. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Smash that like button before you get out of here. For RJ and Pete, I'm Brinson. We'll see you guys later.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.